Yeah, good items for Christmas. Did anybody get any great Christmas presents this year? I
got my mom made a cookbook from all of our family recipes from when I was a kid growing up.
That's
like
really
a
nice.
Family cookbook with pictures from like us cooking throughout the years, like all food related family pictures. Incredible work.
That's amazing.
Incredible. My dad got me shaving soap.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and summer intern, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, head accountant.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
My proudest moment here was not when I increased profits by 17% or when I cut expenses without losing a single employee. No. It was a young Guatemalan guy. First job in the country, barely spoke English. Came to me and said, Mr. Scott, would you be the godfather of my child?
Sorry, guys.
Wow.
Let it breath.
Wow. Didn't work out in the end. We had to let him go. He sucked.
You guys, happy holidays.
Hey.
I hope you guys had
Thank
a wonderful
you.
Christmas. We got New Year's.
Today is New Year's Day.
That's right. Oh, yeah. New Year's Day. Right. And you know what, guys? I think this is going to be a very good year. Very good. Jan is at home. Jim is back. My protege Ryan is at corporate. Good stuff. Andy and Dwight are rocking the sales team. I feel very blessed.
What could go wrong?
Well, every week we get together and talk about our favorite shows, NBC's The Office. This week, we're talking about season openers.
Yes. As today is New Year's Day, 2020, the beginning of a new decade, we decided to take this episode in the direction where we were going to talk about the different season openers from each season of The Office, seasons 1 through 9, and talk about what the season opener kind of means to the show. Because if you think about what these different episodes kind of accomplish and what they sort of do, is every one of these season openers seems to resolve some cliffhangers from the previous season, establish some new sort of dynamics that play out throughout the season or throughout the show, some new relationships, some new characters. Mm-hmm. And when you compare them side to side, it actually gets you kind of an interesting sort of cross-section of the show. So
sure.
We're going to dive into it.
Yeah. It was really fun watching these shows back to back. I think we even each ranked the episodes in terms of our favorites.
Yes. So I think each of us came in with a 1 through 9 sort of power rankings. We're going to compare where we netted out on how we would rank these season openers.
Yeah, we'll talk about each episode and our favorite moments. We got a conference room later on, and as always, trivia at the end. But yeah, let's dive in. Edwin, going back and watching these episodes back to back, any thoughts?
So I think the season opener as a sort of type of Office episode really begins in season 3 with Gay Witch Hunt. It has to pick up from where season 2 left off with the Casino Night. Right? The first two season openers are the pilot, of course, and then the Dundies.
Yeah. I think the Dundies is doing just as much as the other ones.
I mean, it's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different. They're not it's not less than. There's no value judgment being made here.
Yeah.
But when you think about what you guys know how much I love the Dundies.
Yeah,
I know.
But in the season 3 Gay Witch Hunt episode, we have to figure out what happened to Jim, what happened to Pam. It literally picks up with them kissing in right by Pam's desk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So what we have is a resolution of some cliffhangers, the establishment of some new dynamics. Jim is in Stanford, right? Mm-hmm. Ryan is sitting in Jim's old desk.
Yeah.
There are these sort of things that we have to sort of reckon with, and it kind of sets the table for what the season is
and
going
meeting
to
new
be.
New characters.
Yeah, and I think as we go on a little later, what we see is the show kind of reckoning with different pop cultural things, like planking and parkour and lip-sync dubs.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of parkour.
Parkour? Parkour?
Parkour.
Parkour.
Okay. Now I'm all self-conscious about it.
It's classy.
Oh, don't be.
Parkour.
How do you say it? Parkour?
Parkour.
Parkour.
Anyway, are there any sort of favorite moments or characters or different things that are explored in these early episodes or these initial seasonal episodes?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say is really up through gossip the first five seasons or so. I thought the first ones were all kind of chapters of Jim and Pam. Like, it's sort of each season they set a new challenge for Jim and Pam. And that kind of goes away
right towards
the end because their challenges become a little different over the second half of the show. But everything
I think that still holds true to the end.
It's a little more nuanced, okay. I think, at the end because it starts to, like, let's introduce some hiccups in their relationship and mm-hmm. some things they have to work on. Mm-hmm. But these early ones, I mean, speaking of just moments we like, the entire start of Fun Run to me is such one of my favorite moments when Jim and Pam finally reveal that they're dating.
Yeah.
It's such a heartwarming, just best possible punch in the stomach you could have.
I was surprised at how much I favored, I mean, you know, we'll get into this, but how much I favored some of the later season openers.
Yeah.
I think they just got a little bit better at picking up the pace and really getting into the action right away, but we'll get into that also. I mean, obviously, you know, things that come to mind, the introduction of Andy in Gay Witch Hunt. Some great cold opens to talk about for sure.
I love that these episodes allow the show to engage with something and never have to return to it. I loved in Gossip mm-hmm. that they had interns and they never have to talk about having interns again. Yeah. They never have to revisit why we don't have interns now or whatever happened mm-hmm. to the interns.
Yeah. Nepotism with the
assistant, with Luke. It's in and out. Right.
Yeah,
and because it's so early in the season, we don't
Michael's
really...
goatee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
In and out.
We don't really care. Like,
yeah.
It's so early in the season. And there's sort of a dynamic when you are watching the show and as a viewer. And of course, as these shows were airing, you were so excited to be getting ready. All right, here we are. It's Thursday night in September 2011. Right. Mm-hmm. You're so excited to reengage with the show and to see these characters again. And it's like, what's going on with each of these different characters? Mm-hmm. Right. There's something really fun about touching base with everyone.
Yeah.
And they are all like, how was my summer? Well, my summer was pretty good, right?
Yep.
They kind of go into it with that sort
of West Nile
that
virus,
sort of vibe.
Lost
a
bunch of weight.
I went back to the lake.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Did you notice that when he's doing that, he's standing behind his car and he's drinking a bunch of apple cider out of the jug?
Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
I don't know. It's so weird.
Who knows?
I saw Inception, or at least I dreamt I did. but yes, so let's jump into our power rankings so that we can start arguing about which is better than the other.
Yes. Starting with the first, season one, the pilot, directed by Ken Kwapis, written by Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant and Greg Daniels, March 24th, 2005. How does this episode rank in your power ranking?
I personally have this as number 9. Not because this isn't a strong episode or a good episode, but thinking about the context of a season opener mm-hmm. that has to, you know, either resolve cliffhangers or set things up for the season to come, this does the least in terms of that. Obviously, we get introductions to all the characters, and this isn't to say that I don't like this episode, just that within this particular lens, it does the least of that. Mm-hmm. I do really love this episode. Of course, we get introduced to all the characters for the very first time: Michael,
right.
Jim, and Dwight, and Pam. Mm-hmm. And to a lesser extent, Ryan.
Yeah.
But one of the greatest.
It's all there. I mean, there's the first pranks on Dwight. And, you know, we do see, you know, that Jim likes Pam and that mm-hmm. she's with someone else. So all these things are kind of being set up in the pilot. But it just doesn't feel like later on when we actually know everybody and they can really quickly set up a lot of storylines, it just comparing it to the other episodes. I get that. Yeah. I actually have it as number 8 on mine.
I have 7. So we're filling out the bottom 3 here.
I think, I mean, this is, if anything, this is an introduction to Michael, right?
Totally.
That's what we get in
introduction
in
to the universe, really, you know, considering what it borrowed from the BBC and it's, I mean, this is the episode. It's funny. Like, If you were to tell someone to start The Office cold, they had never seen anything, would you start them at season 2 or would you just say go from the beginning?
Yeah, I would probably start them at season two. Yeah,
right.
Dundee's would be a good
It
one.
Feels a little counterintuitive to me now that I'm saying this to say that it accomplishes less than the other season openers when it literally is the beginning
Sets
of the show.
Sets up the whole show.
I think
it does feel that way.
But as we get to some of these other episodes, we'll talk about the way that it sort of stakes out territory for different mm-hmm. seasons to explore.
I only kept it from number 9 just because I thought just
it
if it's classic.
So
it's for nostalgia.
Yes, put it
it's,
at la-
it's too
put
its
it last,
value is
like
so
Edwin
high.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of the Dundies, season two, directed by Greg Daniels, written by Mindy Kaling. Original air date, September 20th, 2005. Where does this episode rank for you, fellas?
I put it number one.
Number one.
Whoa.
Okay.
Go ahead. One. Why? How come this is your number one?
So I know, because I'm just looking at it a little different. I think I like Edwin was looking at it in terms of like what it does as an opener and its power, which is actually a really good way to look at it. I was more just doing my enjoyment of watching them. Mm-hmm. And for me, this one, there's a joy to this episode that's so palpable to me that I just love it.
Yeah.
You get
felt
Michael,
God in this Chili's tonight.
You feel God in the Chili's. I feel God in this episode. I mean, just to have Michael doing the job he believes he should be doing, which is performing on stage,
people.
Making people laugh.
Yeah.
Like putting Michael in his element sets up and getting to see what he actually wants to do and how poorly it goes, but then how great it galvanizes the office near the end. It's just this perfect opening. And it's kind of a warm reintroduction to the show from season one. That's what this, why I think it's, for
certainly.
Me, number one is, it really is the first episode of the series in a lot of ways.
It introduces us to the new tone of the show after season one that pretty much carries throughout the rest of the show, which is a much more hopeful, mm-hmm. a little more brightly colored show, a little more attractive.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about if you were going to recommend someone where they would start the show, I would start with the Dundies.
Yeah.
Yes.
For me personally, in terms of the way that I interpreted this season opener ranking, I actually have it at number 8. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I don't love this episode. I really, really love this episode. You can go back to our fantasy draft episode. I drafted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check the record.
As we're going to compare it, this probably is the one that I like the most out of all of these season openers, me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in terms of what it accomplishes, in terms of setting up the world,
it doesn't
do more than some of the other season openers.
Yeah, well then, I mean, you know, just moving ahead, with season three's opener, they're picking up where they left off, where this one's really starting clean and there's really, you know, not a lot. There's no cliffhanger at the end of season one.
Whereas some of the other season openers set up new things to look at, the Dundies sort of reinforces what we've seen in season one, which is Jim and Pam, and Roy is sort of the obstacle in the way of them getting together.
Sure.
Michael is sort of this performing figure for the office. Mm-hmm. You got Dwight sucking the funny out of the room, and he's early on the queue.
And
right?
They reintroduce a lot of charm to Michael Scott that wasn't there in season
one.
And likability.
It's very, very true. Yeah, you can empathize so much more with the season two Michael, or at least you don't hate him as much.
Yeah. It's just a wild episode. You know, Pam gets drunk, gets kicked out, barred from Chili's. Mm-hmm. You know, it ends on the song. It's a crazy episode.
Yeah. You feel bad for Michael for once. I don't think you really ever feel bad for him in season one.
Or even like, I'm thinking of when Pam is sitting there and she's like kind of dreading her award for longest engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually gets the award for whitest sneakers.
And it's
a small thing where in season one, you feel like she would probably get longest engagement just because it would be so awkward and so cringeworthy and so uncomfortable that the show would kind of play into that. But in season two, it just kind of swerves it a little bit to the point where you can kind of get a funny moment or a unique moment out of that where the funny moment is not you're playing into what is the most awkward or most uncomfortable moment.
Yes.
But a moment that is made funny by the fact that Pam is drunk.
Yeah,
correct.
Accepting that award.
And it says, hey, look, Michael's not completely hopeless.
Yes.
Watch the show now.
Yeah, yeah.
He might actually come out the other side a good guy.
Yes. Any further thoughts on the Dundies?
No, I think we got a whole episode about that one as well. Some of these we have full episodes about already. So, onwards.
Season three, we got Gay Witch Hunt, directed by Ken Kwapis, written by Greg Daniels, aired September 21st, 2006. I have Gay Witch Hunt in my ranking at number 6.
Number 6. Wow.
I had 5.
Yeah. I have number 1.
I was kind of surprised going back and rewatching this against the other episodes, just feeling that it didn't stand up really. But you had it at number 1.
I
want to
hear the number 1.
Go ahead.
Give me.
Yeah, I think Gay Witch Hunt is the beginning of The Office growing in scope.
Yes.
The first two seasons, we barely leave Dunder Mifflin. If you listen to Office Ladies, they talk about how eventually they go down to the warehouse, right? And eventually, like, they expand the office park, right?
Yeah.
And in the beginning of season three, it begins with Jim and Pam, you know, the aftermath of their kiss at Pam's desk, right? And Jim saying, all right, you're actually going to marry him, right? So Jim goes through with his transfer to Stanford, right? Jim is in Stanford. We get the introduction of new characters who will play major roles. Yeah, a whole different version of Dunder Mifflin that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. I suppose we do get corporate in season two when Michael goes up to meet David Wallace, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, they also do the booze cruise. You know, there's a lot going on.
That's fair. But I think what this season represented to me is like, all right, The Office is a bigger place now.
Right.
And we're going to get more and more used to seeing new characters, new settings, new scenarios.
And we're going
to
get invested with them.
And when you think about what it does with Oscar becoming a gay character and how the other characters in The Office kind of have to deal with that, or that becomes part of their reality. Granted, Oscar leaves after this for a long time before he comes back. But Oscar's, I mean, let's be honest, Oscar's sexuality plays a huge role in the rest of the show.
Yeah.
You know, in his affair with the senator and his relationship with Angela.
Right, right.
And I thought the way that it established that and what it meant for Jim and Pam, putting them so far apart geographically, for them to come back together, I thought that it made it the most meaningful out of all of these episodes, right?
You're right. In terms of the journey of Jim and Pam, this is the most hopeless it becomes, because you're like, geez, they're not even working in the same city anymore. Mm-hmm. And it does set up. I mean, it takes so long for that to get corrected, essentially, at least for them to become a couple.
Yeah.
And this gives us a long time of them, well, a whole season at least worth of them coming back together.
Yeah. We were so hopeful at the end of season two, and now it's all over. Season two ends on the most
oh my God moment.
Right. Mm. Think about at the beginning of, you know, following the cut of Jim and Pam kissing at the end of Casino Night to Dwight saying, Jim is gone. I cry myself to sleep at night, Jim. False. I do not miss Jim. Like, Jim is gone.
That's great.
That's the way they see, you know, that's where we're at. Like, he is long, long gone, right? That's where we are at the beginning of season three. So it sets up so much for the show to resolve. And that's why I had it number one.
I get that. I thought that rewatching it, I thought, like, the opening of it is a little bit slow in comparison. I mean, it is funny watching these shows, these episodes back to back where you're jumping seasons. The pace is just so different. But I mean, certainly this is of all the openers, this is the most cringe.
It is
like offensive episode.
So uncomfortable.
You know, it's not like Diversity Day or Scott's Tots are an
really
opener.
It's really hard to watch.
This is definitely
I mean, I think
number
we've
one.
Talked about this, but like the cringe moments in The Office make me laugh.
Of course.
I'll never skip over Scott's Tots.
No.
Like none of these things draw me away. The kiss, rewatching it, the kiss made me laugh really hard rewatched it.
And that is really like the thing about the,
improvised.
The noises that they make when they're kissing each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael's crying. I always love to see Michael
crying. An improvised moment, to your point, Alex. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were not initially supposed to kiss, but... Yeah.
And then Dwight gets up to kiss him, which I think also was an improvised moment.
It also pushes the show... Well, it pushes Michael into more of a territory that has a little more to do with the real world than, you know, issues in The Office of, you know, how to handle the conflict resolutions and the things you see in season two. And this is like... Michael, like Jan says, it's like this is like lawsuit level worthy. Like Michael's getting way more in over his head than he has before, and that trend certainly continues throughout the rest of the show.
I love that part where she snaps and like gets really serious with him, and he all of a sudden is like, yes, oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
There's a moment I really kind of zeroed in on with this, and it's not a big moment, but it's when Michael and Dwight are sitting in Michael's office and they're peering through the blinds and they're saying like, how do we know? You know, they're trying to figure out how to know if there are other office gays, right?
Yeah.
And Michael submits Angela as a potential, as somebody else who could be gay in the office. And Dwight says, well, you know, Jim told me about this thing called gaydar. And he calls Jim about it. And Jim says, oh, yeah, gaydar, right? And then at the end, when Jim hangs up the phone, he says, I missed that. There's something really nice about that that sort of portends them coming back together.
Oh, gaydar.
Yeah.
And it's the way he click-clacks on his keyboard.
Yeah.
It's a really good moment. Also, too, then just another moment I love in this episode is between Oscar and Michael. When he first goes up to Oscar, he's like, hey, man, I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, it's okay. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
And Michael's like offers to go get a beer. Like, we should go get a beer sometime and you can tell me how you do that to another man. The pacing of it and the way Michael struggles just to say that is so good. Mm-hmm. And
again, a time back when they don't really stand up to him.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
right. So like you have to like part of the comedy is just watching everyone like bite their tongue.
The show gets so much mileage out of, I mean, obviously we talked about, you know, Oscar's sexuality and how it deals with Angela in the senator, but the way that Michael and Oscar interact throughout the show, I'm just thinking of when Michael calls in Oscar to talk about his colonoscopy.
Oh my God.
And
yes.
Then later when he talks about oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name of the episode, but it's in season 7 when he gets all of he has the cold sore or the he has herpes or whatever, and he calls all of his former lovers, and then he brings an Oscar at the end, and he asks him to like talk about all the places that he's other men.
Like highway restroom stop.
Yeah. That's like the very last
the swamp
scene,
behind the old folks' home. Democratic National Convention.
Even Pam one time is like, you know,
she's asking about the bathhouse.
Yeah, bathhouse on the corner of blank and blank. Yeah. And he's like, what? And she's like, forget it. I'll never know what's in there. any other thoughts on
let's keep moving.
I just wrote down extremely uncomfortable under that one. All right.
Fun Run. Season 4. Directed by Greg Daniels. Written by Greg Daniels. Aired
performed
September
by Greg Daniels.
aired September 27th, 2007. This is a 2-part episode, hour long special. I had this as my number one.
Number three for me.
Even
in terms of the opening of this episode, like the episode itself is a season opener, but the opening of this opener is Michael hitting Meredith with his car, which I don't think you can beat that for a cold open between all these episodes.
Meredith did her own stunt work on that one.
That is crazy.
I mean, you could see it's her, but
shout out Kate Flannery.
She had apparently had a lot of bruises on her arm from that day.
Oh boy,
she had to do a lot of takes.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Her chart doesn't indicate that she had a full hysterectomy. At least she got time off for one.
Twilight and medical records is a great thing on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, Fun Run is just like an amazing episode to me. It's almost perfect. It just, the jokes never stop. So much happens in this episode.
It's based at the office, but not the running around.
Yeah, Michael carbo loading, Andy's nipple chafing.
You really get a sense
of
people's
habits.
Really
nice episode for Jim and Pam. Now they're together. That's just really nice. Jan's
Sprinkles, Dwight versus Sprinkles,
Dwight versus Sprinkles.
Nuts.
When you talk about cliffhangers being resolved from the earlier season, the end of season 3 happens with the job where Jim comes in and he asks Pam out on a date, right? And what we see is Jim and Pam being very happy together, but it isn't until the end of the episode where we really see that, yes, finally they are together.
Yeah.
After 3 seasons of will they, won't they tension, right? Mm-hmm. It's so nice as a viewer to see them together finally for the first time.
Right.
Even if they're not openly together in the office, right? As the show acknowledges in the PDA episode in season 7, Jim and Pam don't engage really heavily in PDA. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that kind of happens out of this. The other thing, of course, is Michael and Jan. Jan moving into Michael's condo. They're still together. Jan.
Yeah,
Jan made me breakfast this morning. Well, she bought the milk.
It's soy.
Yeah. And then, you quoted this at the beginning of the episode, but he kind of sets the table. All right, Ryan, my protege, is in corporate. Jim is back.
Yeah.
Dwight and Andy rocking the sales team.
Yeah.
Right? These things are kind of setting the table. And then what would be a very stable environment is rocked by Meredith, Michael hitting Meredith with his car.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, everyone inside the car was fine.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I think, too, this one's kind of, there's, in some of these season openers, we have the entire office engaged in one thing together. You get it in weight loss. You get it in this one. You get it in the Dundies. These sort of events that all happen with the whole office. I love it. It's a great way to, like you said earlier, it's a great device to check in on each of the characters.
Yeah.
And the Fun Run is great, too, because you get to see people's kind of habits and how they would
some
do a run.
Some people are competing. Some people, like Creed and Stanley. Just
right. Andy's nipples are sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's my boss. Look at you go, Michael.
Yeah,
they all get in the cab.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get some custom t-shirts in this one. Everyone's, you know, Michael, obviously, Michael versus Toby, a nice subplot here. Toby winning this thing. Love
so
to see that.
So fitting that there's nothing at the end to celebrate.
And then it ends with, like, Michael's in the hospital by the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Where are we? You know, like 3 miles away from the office. Couldn't have made it a circle. Nothing. Don't need to worry. I put Imodium in Toby's coffee. Wait, Imodium or Ex-Lax? Yeah. I feel great. Normally at this time of the race, I would have to take a bathroom break.
Not today.
Not today.
I love good. That part where Michael's like so upset, like thinks they're cursed and is going on and on about how they should like believe in a new God with the...
And this is at the base of this is Michael just wanting to be absolved of how bad he feels.
Right.
This entire thing. And that's just, I mean, that's a common theme.
I love the ending where he's in the hospital and Meredith's like, I heard about how hard you tried to raise money. So I guess I forgive you. And then they share the sucker.
I love how when they go to visit her at first, she says, Michael, you are not forgiven.
Any other thoughts on Fun Run? Where did it place for you guys? Did you say?
I put number two. I think it was 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I found around the table.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
On to Weight Loss.
Weight Loss season 5, directed by Paul Feig, written by Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupnitsky.
Nice.
Original air date September 25th, 2008. Where does this one place for you guys?
Put it number 3.
I have it number 2.
Number 7.
Wow.
I don't know why this one fell for me. It is a great episode. I love Michael and Holly.
Impulsivity and inattention to detail.
But I don't know. For whatever reason, it fell for me. Why so high for you guys?
Well, just for... this is for the... Basically, putting Pam in New York sets up a huge amount of the season. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, that trickles down all the way to why she joins Megan Scott Paper Company. As far as the lifting for what is, I think, the best season and just a massive season in terms of everything that happens, this has a lot to do, this first episode. And they managed to do it. I mean, not only does Holly really become a part of the office, like I said, Pam's in New York, the party planning committee changes hands, big things are happening here.
Yeah.
For me, it's Michael and Holly. Like, that's the big thing for me, especially coming off the Goodbye Toby episode where Michael seems so hopeful. And he sees Jan at the end of that episode, and Jan is pregnant. Mm-hmm. To see Michael and Holly sort of interacting and seemingly trending towards a relationship or being together, Jim is kind of coaching him along, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a way that doesn't necessarily work out for Michael and Holly at the beginning, but it sets up that dynamic of them being together. And of course, like you said, Pam in New York, Jim and Pam kind of having to deal with this new sort of hurdle in their relationship, and then the engagement that happens in part two of Weight Loss.
Yeah.
I just think the episode's really funny. It sets up a lot of different things with Ronnie and them, from the, it's like the one part of the office, and then it's Michael, Dwight, Holly, and Ronnie. trying to sneak cake and baklava or whatever it is. I really love how much this episode accomplishes in terms of that.
And they do so much for the whole summer, and they compress it into that small amount of time. Right. It's great. Why'd you have it so low?
I think that looking at my list again, I think I was favoring chaotic episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Fun Run certainly opens with someone, you know, someone getting hit by a car and doesn't really wind down after that.
Warning!
And weight loss feels a little calmer in general. I mean, we get Mindy Kaling passing out later because she ate a tapeworm that Creed gave her. But other than that, there's not a lot of chaos in this episode, and it does kind of feel like a nice, cozy episode.
Who's your worm guy?
I love later when it's raining and everyone's just kind of like being really nice to each other for the most part. They're working as a team to lose weight.
We also get the return of Ryan in this episode. Yes. Should have mentioned that. Ronnie was blech. So Ryan comes
back.
Give
me Ryan Howard. I want him.
Yeah.
Goatee. Yeah.
I wish they had a shot of Michael, of Ryan getting the news that he was going to be sent back to
I don't know why please. I love the goatee-less brothers thing. Yes. Makes me laugh so much.
The shot of Dwight turning away.
The goatee, yeah.
Yeah. We are the goatee-less brothers.
And the reason that's so good is because Dwight has to have that goatee for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
We have Andy wearing the garbage bag, Native Sweat Lodge.
Yeah, you know? That's right. That's this right. is the this hardest is... thing I've had to do in my whole life. I have not had a very hard life.
He knows. He knows.
Any other thoughts?
Clutch cream run, bro.
On weight loss, it's a great episode. I mean, obviously the proposal is a beautiful moment.
That tips the scales quite a lot in favor of this episode for me.
Yeah.
But you had it down there.
It is a very like hopeful, positive start to a season, whereas something like Gay Witch Hunt is not, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, obviously a great episode. Yeah. But I had it at number 7. Are you moving on?
Yeah.
Season 6.
Shout out to Stanley doing paper lifts under the desk, though.
Love to see the hustle. Right. I lost 5 pounds.
We were fighting the power and eating whatever we wanted. I've lost a little bit of my fire.
I would like to actually have that picture and keep it on my mantelpiece. Okay. Pretty cool.
Season 6, Gossip, directed by Paul Lieberstein, written by Paul Lieberstein, aired September 17th, 2009. This is my second best.
Number 2. I had it at 4.
I have it 6.
All right. Even numbers, guys.
This is just a great episode of, you know, Michael screwing up because he wants the attention and causing chaos in the office. You got everyone together. You got the parkour cold open. You got the interns there the whole time, which is just such a hysterical element. Right at the top of the episode, you got like Dwight chugging that water in front of her, then coming up with more stuff for her to do. See those binders over by Kevin's desk? Go put them in random order. Then come see me regarding their order. You got all these things like Michael's making up rumors about people. So Andy now is worried that he might actually be gay. This is the third time that a rumor has come out.
I have a daughter. How can I be a virgin? Is what Toby says.
Did Stanley tell you guys I have asthma? Because if it gets out that I have asthma, they won't let me scuba. If I can't scuba, what's this all about? What am I living for?
I used to have that drop, and I took it off right now. I was so ready to play it, and it's not there.
When you were talking about chaotic episodes, I certainly feel like this is probably the most chaotic episode.
Oh, sure.
I really like this one. In my ranking, I was kind of surprised that it was a 6 for me because it's really funny. Like, mm-hmm. I really love this episode. Mm-hmm. It engages with all the different characters, and the fact that they all have to deal with different rumors about themselves is sort of a unique way to illustrate each of their characters. You know, Oscar is potentially the voice of the Taco Bell dog. Kevin as someone inside of him operating him with controls.
Yeah.
I love that the rumor that Michael starts about himself is that he's a J. Crew model and everybody thinks it's about Jim.
Yeah. He starts the rumor that someone is a J. Crew model.
And Michael says, no, I was talking about me. And they're like, how is that negative? He says, well, people have the impression that models are very vapid. It set our industry back quite a bit. Our industry.
Yeah.
Vapid. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing,
Mike. Taking on the role.
Yeah, I wrote that down. I like that each character is tested in this episode. And to me, as a season opener, this is the show kind of flexing its muscles, seeing what am I actually capable of? What is a show capable of? What new areas of humor can we go into with every character?
Yeah, Stanley, we didn't see that coming.
We've got 5 seasons getting to know everyone. How can we start to play with that? And to me, that's what makes season 6 and 7 so great. Yeah. It's just the chemistry opens up the show in so many ways.
Full ensemble.
And this one is them just in a playground. Let's see what they can do.
And in terms of like cliffhangers from the last season, of course, season 5 ends with a company picnic where we learn that Pam is pregnant.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's kind of a part of this episode too. They don't want that information to get out. But then they use it to save Stanley's reputation, which, of course, then everyone learns later.
I love, too, when Michael goes down to confront Stanley.
Stanley.
And Stanley says, no, Michael, I'm going to break it off right now. That's where I'm going. And Michael says, wait, do people often say they're going on a sales call and go to do other things? What a huge realization for Michael.
And then is that the one end, bigger or the 8 years of separating?
Trash into whites and colors? And whites, yeah. The one where...
Are you kidding me? I'd do anything to see a turtle.
He's so earnest.
The moment where Michael, when Cynthia calls Michael,
yes,
and he answers the phone, and he says, "Hold on a minute, Cynthia."
Yeah, he's just like, "No, no, this is gonna work. I'll tell her that I'm remodeling my apartment, and then we'll heckle about money, or we'll talk about money, and then I'll back down. This can work. This can work."
Hey, Cynthia. And then the look on his face. He just shakes his head and he can't.
Yeah.
And then he picks up the phone and goes, hold on a minute, Cynthia.
Jim just like.
Jim gets up and hangs up the phone for him.
Just in two quick lines ruins everything.
Michael's ability to weasel into someone's personal life in an incredible amount of speed is amazing.
Yeah.
He does it time and again.
And then Stanley destroys the Sebring.
Yeah. The golf, with the golf club.
I mean, it completely destroys it.
Ends the show ends with Stanley beating Michael's car.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And it's like, fine.
Oh, gosh.
Awesome stuff.
Gossip. That is, I love that episode.
Yes. All right. Nepotism?
Season 7, we open with Nepotism, directed by Jeffrey Blitz, written by Daniel Chun. Original air date September 23rd, 2010. Where does this one land for you guys?
I have this at number 4.
I have this at number 4.
I had number 8.
Wow. Okay, why
down.
So low?
We'll I had start it way with you. Down. This is just a ranking of how much I hate Luke. I have a palpable dislike for him. He does a great job because that's how much I hate him. And this one, as far as season opener, it's a lot of... It's just, it's the whole company versus this one guy. And unfortunately, the villain to me is just, I hate him so much.
He is such a little shit. When Daryl like gets the decaf and he's like, oh, well, are you going to drink it?
Daryl Hannah.
Drive all the way back. Yeah.
There you go, really Bingo. Bad. Coffee's supposed to get here at 9.
Yeah. And they're all like.
Tiny.
He calls Kevin Tiny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's such a dick.
He's so terrible.
And he calls, what does he call? Phyllis. Venus.
Venus.
Yeah.
That's,
They're all united against him, but it never quite felt like they, I felt like that a couple missed opportunities here and there, maybe, at the end of the day, it's still amazing. I love it. Pam's whole elevator prank with Jim, or with Dwight, I love how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jim's original prank, adding a couple keys every day until his pants fell down.
Yes.
Would have loved to see that one all the way
That's
through.
Good. Yeah.
It's all great stuff.
When he hands up the stethoscope.
My favorite
the
example
hammer,
of Foley sound in The Office is when Dwight takes off all the extra keys and throws them back at Jim. And you get the different boom, frequency bing, plings.
It's really good.
Clearly fake sounds, but my favorite use of Foley. Yeah.
Brilliant sound added in post.
It's great stuff. I should like it just for that, but unfortunately I don't. And this one, we see Michael a lot of these openings. It's him just trying to be liked despite something he did, even though he knows he's wrong. And that's no different here. However, it never really tracked for me that why would he want to help out his sister that cut him off from the family 15
years ago. We kind of get a quick like window into his family life and like realizing that he's been like cut off from like a side of the family because he left Luke.
He lost him in a forest.
Yeah. The way he comes back into that story. Yeah. Anyways. I lost him in a forest.
It was whenever Ace Ventura 2 premiered.
Of 95, 15 years on the nose.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I love the Luke moment when he's at Meredith's desk and he says, oh, all right, strawberries are done.
Yeah.
And then Meredith comes back and she says, hey, turn off the Chumbawamba and scram. Chumbawamba.
Yeah. I get knocked down.
But I get up again. My strawberries are done. I have this one at number 4. For me, this is, I think I've mentioned how much I love season 7. I think season 7 is probably my personal favorite season because of how complete the ensemble is. And you truly get that over the course of this episode. Mm-hmm. It begins with the lip sync dub, right?
Yeah.
That It was a challenge very popular at the time, and it engages everyone. One thing I noticed that I never kind of glossed over was how it features Gabe. When they go down the hallway, Gabe is just moving his hands in front of his knees.
Yeah, he's doing the Charlie Brown. Yeah,
yeah, and then Charlie Brown. And then later, when they bring up Creed, and Creed has his Bluetooth.
Yeah,
and he says, "Go for Creed,"
which is very unlike Creed. He's actually working.
I wish we got that more Creed on the Bluetooth. This is the moment where, or this is the episode where Creed says, "You know, great minds battling it out, and I've got a front row seat."
Nice. Yeah, that's a great line.
And it, I love to the meeting where they're together and they're all talking about Luke seems to be one of the most full versions of a conference room meeting where all the characters can kind of have lines together. Mm-hmm. When the moment where Kelly gets up after her Yale business seminar, and she says,
"Oh yeah,
I want to readdress what I want to address what Daryl said about the level playing field. That is actually a zoning issue." All of the characters just stop for a really long beat.
No one responds.
It's so stupid that no one says anything. It's so ridiculous. And then what we see over the course of season 7 is Michael getting this long runway for character development, for where he actually exits the show in a really great place. He's on great terms with a lot of the characters. He exhibits a ton of character growth, and he's finally ready to move on from The Office. He's so much less pedantic and small and ignorant than he seems in the early seasons.
That's true.
And I, you know, in terms of setting up that dynamic, I think it's really interesting that this episode ends with Michael going to counseling. Maybe an underrated part of Michael's character development is that he goes to therapy with Toby.
That's right.
Like, how much does Toby's counseling actually help Michael grow as a character?
And the end of that episode too, where Gabe is telling him, you know, look, either you know, you just have to do this bit of therapy, and you know, we have all of our HR people are licensed therapists, and he's like, oh great, and so you know, he says like, oh yeah, you'll have to do it with Toby, and he's like, oh no.
What's the alternative? He says the alternative is termination.
And he really weighs the decision. He's like,
Michael?
And I'll give you an example. So there's a quote from Michael, which is one of the most ridiculous Michael quotes, which is saying something, where he's talking about nepotism. And Michael says, do you think they should have had open auditions for the band Hanson? What if no one named Hanson showed up? That wouldn't even make sense. What if they just hired the littlest kid and a 50-year-old guy who was a murderer?
Yeah.
Really safe. And then Jim says, oh man, so many points being made. Right. The Jim reaction is so true to what Michael says. It makes no sense whatsoever. But to
That happens again when they go out to his car, and Michael, the excuse Michael makes for him is like, maybe he was on his way to,
maybe he had an eBay store.
Maybe an eBay store. And Jim's reaction is the same, when he's like, you know what, that's the first thought I have. And then I remember talking to him and he said, I don't have an eBay store. So he does the exact same move.
And Aaron says, do you want to try on the pants again? He goes, no, I know they fit. The pants that he ordered from Talbot's.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, setting up Gabe, Aaron, and Andy's sort of love triangle is just so hilarious to me all through season 7.
He's accomplished so much career wise and height wise.
I am so glad
he's my boss.
He's my boss. What is the line?
Otherwise, I wouldn't have said yes.
There we go.
Season 8?
Season 8 opens with The List, directed by BJ Novak, written by BJ Novak. Aired September 22nd, 2011. This is my third favorite episode.
Wow.
Ooh, nice.
Which I thought you guys would be surprised by, because it's season 8, no Michael Scott.
Yeah.
But as I was saying earlier, like episodes with a lot of chaos, as the openers with a lot of chaos, I favored. So this one, definitely a lot of chaos.
It's good.
Warning.
It's good. I mean, Robert California coming in. I love me some Robert California.
Robert California moments.
At his purest. Making a list of winners and losers. I mean, it's so Trumpian.
Everyone in the office lines up in front of each other and then just starts attacking each other at one point in this episode. So I just love moments like that.
I have this episode as number 5. I also really love this episode as a season opener because it resolves who is the next manager.
Yes.
Robert California is brought in as the next manager. He takes one look around and drives down to Florida and convinces Joe to give him her job.
That's like a whole movie that line too. I'd love to see that movie.
And he walks in and Phyllis sneezes. That's the
so
thing that
perfect.
Sets him over the edge. It makes you wonder what he saw when he came in for the interview.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I do love that it sets up this new dynamic where Andy is manager. And we'll talk about Andy as manager maybe in another episode, but like
that's a whole episode.
Whether or not that was the right choice, I personally think it probably was.
It works here.
Because there are so many parallels to Michael.
It works here.
And it sets up Robert California as the new Joe / Jan / Ryan.
Yep.
The person one level above the regional manager, who is the authority figure. And it sets up Robert California's character, and it brings in a managerial figure who is really imposing, right? Who, when he walks around, people sit up a lot straighter. They go back to
Robert
work.
California, let's have a conversation. Yeah. That's in this episode.
Where season 7 is such a relaxed sort of realization of the full ensemble, you suddenly have a character who is going to force everyone to sit up a little straighter, act a little bit righter, try to perform. Very similar to the way that an actual boss would in a work environment. So I love the establishment of those two dynamics.
I love the actual lists.
Yeah.
I love that the characters are so, some characters are so eager to care about this list, others are not. Again, it just plays with the chemistry, the really strong chemistry, and it does a very fun, it just has a great time with it. I had this number 6, but when I first made this list, it started at 4, and as I as it shifted, it dropped down. Yeah. But I initially had it fairly high as well, because I just,
it's
I
so
love Bobby,
good. Oh my God,
Bobby
there's,
Cal.
There's so many good parts. I love it. There's so many great full ensemble moments when they are all talking about the list and they've actually gotten out a big piece of like construction paper or presentation paper and they've written the list up there. And then Kevin throws up another warning, warning, warning. And Robert California walks in and Aaron like rips away the list and it just says business plan. It's so quick.
It's great stuff.
Yeah,
we
really
get
fun.
The first real look at who Robert California is, you know, where he talks about, you know, people.
The Lizard King.
Where he talks about
prove me right, losers prove me wrong.
I love that moment.
It's great.
It seems very honest and true in that moment. But then immediately Andy says no, and he goes in and he kind of sets Robert straight in a way.
Yeah,
about sales and who people. Everybody is as a person. I really love that moment where, you know, so often in the early episodes of season 8, it's everyone else picking up Andy. In the first episode, Andy picks up everybody else. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Andy that I enjoy.
I also love when they're at the restaurant and Robert is just kind of spouting nonsense about Sesame Street.
Yeah, that's so
watch
good.
The street.
Howard's is a cultural street. Ghetto, wouldn't you agree? And they're all apt analysis, Robert.
Apt.
Yeah.
Apt. Another one of my all-time favorite moments, well, especially with Andy, is when he first greets him. Hi, Dad. Oh. That moment makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah. Robert California, really get to know the guy.
Yeah.
How does he see me? Don't know, super care.
Don't know, super care.
Also, a great cold open, planking.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Fantastic cold open. Mm-hmm. Another kind of like topical
call.
Thing, you know.
Good call.
Thing to bring people in.
Dwight, my number 2, my enforcer. Can you take care of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Him using the fire extinguisher on Meredith in the bathroom. Oh, God. It's so funny. Or dropping that. He drops
a ream of paper
onto a guy's head. Mm-hmm. That can't be said. Both deadly, I think. Any other thoughts about the list?
Shout out. No, just go see the screenshots, as Edwin's recommended, of Dwight's lists that he keeps. Separating the office into different life rafts.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That is a fantastic moment. Also, shove it up your butt.
Shove it up your butt.
The introduction.
I love when Robert is talking about doodles and he says, may as well have been sketching a cube. He's like, it's funny how the houses are always colonial.
Funny how the houses are always colonials and the penises are always circumcised.
You had it all lined up.
Woo!
I love it.
Season 9.
You want one too? Take the family to Disney Town?
World. Land.
Season
9. Not a
9.
Party if you don't do something that scares you.
Let me me tell you.
You got any more?
No, my Robert California revolver backs up.
Would you prefer a nature metaphor or a sexual metaphor?
Oh, sex,
oh God, or nature. Nature, when two animals are having sex.
That wasn't the nature metaphor? Sex metaphor? Go ahead.
All right, guys, so we've reached the end here. Season 9, New Guys, directed by Greg Daniels, written by Greg Daniels, aired September 20th, 2012. This is my 9th favorite.
Me
opener.
Too.
This is 7.
Okay, how come it's not your least favorite? That's that's what I would like to know.
In terms of what the season opener is supposed to do, in terms of, you know, setting up new dynamics.
We know.
Clearing cliffhangers, whatever. I guess I've started every single episode in this regard.
We know.
New Guys does more than the Dundies and Pilot in terms of this. It does a lot in terms of bringing in new characters and Clark and Pete.
It's literally called New Guys.
It brings back Andy from his Outward Bound expedition. Yes. It sets up Jim and Pam with Athlete. It sets the table for a lot of things in season 9. In season 9, Greg Daniels returns as showrunner. I think Paul Lieberstein is showrunner in season 8. And he talked about kind of rebooting The Office in a way that was a little bit closer to the actual Office. And so we get to see the first kind of stab at that. There's a lot of things that happen in this episode, but it does seem to set up the way that season 9 is going to go. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that it brings in new characters and... It kind of, I mean, granted, season 9 is not the most comfortable season for us, right? In terms of the Jim and Pam dynamic, in terms of the way that Andy kind of shows off his character and Andy kind of gets on people's bad sides a little bit, the way that he treats Nelly. Mm-hmm. But it does a lot in terms of setting up season 9.
There's just something about this episode that kind of feels mean-spirited and like sets up, I mean, of course, we've talked about, you just said we don't particularly love season 9, so... This is setting the tone for a season that is not exactly our favorite. I mean, Andy Bernard coming back from the manager training is a completely different Andy Bernard than we see at the top of season 8. He doesn't really care what anyone thinks. He does everything he can to embarrass Nelly, but he's also trying to embarrass everybody else. Like, he's, you know, saying that Pete is named Plop because he's always taking dumps. So don't really love Andy's attitude in this episode. I said it earlier when we were chatting, but Nelly is kind of all of a sudden now a straight character, whereas before she was an outrageous, chaotic, hysterical person. Now she's really serious and kind of like you pity her.
She's just getting hit on by Toby all season.
Yeah. I mean, the cold open with Kevin and the turtle.
The moment where Toby steps up and takes off his glasses.
Oh, my God.
Dude, it's so bad. Oh, so bad.
Kevin killing a turtle at the top of the episode is just like, I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's a little meaner. Does that make sense?
It's just the last of the 9.
Yeah.
And that's where it lands for me. And I feel like Pete and Clark are two versions of kind of the same character. Mm-hmm. They're both not that interesting, and I wish if they were going to do a Dwight and a Jim, then make a Dwight and a Jim, not two half like two kind of Jims.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing that it sets up is Angela and Oscar and the Senator, where Angela is trying to find someone to take her cat, and eventually Oscar does.
Old Comstock.
Comstock. And it sets up the Oscar and the Senator sort of dynamic that plays out over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. One quote at the end of this episode that really made me laugh, that really sort of, I think, picked up this episode in a way that I wasn't expecting, was a quote from Creed. After Dwight does the thing where he's trying to ride across the parking lot bike with the copy machine.
Ridiculous. Insane.
Here's what Creed says. In the parking lot today, there was a circus. The copier did tricks on the high wire. A lady tried to give away a baby that looked like a cat. There was a Dwight impersonator and a Jim impersonator. A strong man crushed a turtle. I laughed and I cried. Not bad for a day in the life of a dog food company.
Season 9 in a nutshell, right?
Yeah. Oblivious as always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do love the moment when Dwight is on the slack line. The montage of him just like flipping and falling over and over again, which a lot of those he is doing himself.
We got ourselves a yard sale.
Yeah, that's right. Any other thoughts on New Guys?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's ruined by Andy. He's just terrible.
Pushing Nelly off
is
pretty
tough.
Yeah.
The worst version of Andy, and that's why this one is at the bottom for me.
Yeah, it's just not as fun for me. All
right, so I want to hear real quick. Let's go through
Yeah.
Real quick, list. give our in order rankings, one through nine.
Yeah.
I'll start.
Okay.
For me, number one, the Dundies, then Fun Run, Weight Loss, Gossip, Gay Witch Hunt, The List, The Pilot, Nepotism, New Guys.
Nice.
I have number one, Gay Witch Hunt, followed by Weight Loss, Fun Run, Nepotism, The List, Gossip, New Guys, The Dundies, Pilot.
And for me, I've got Fun Run at the top, Gossip, The List, Nepotism, The Dundies, Gay Witch Hunt, then Weight Loss, The Pilot, and New Guys.
All pretty different there.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear your guys' list, too. Please hit us up on the social media or send us an email or give us a phone call.
We're going to have to do a season finale one here, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. I love this. I love this way of like looking at the show.
This is a fun way to kind of cut up the show.
Yeah. You've come up with some good ideas, Edwin, with different ways to look at
some
arcs.
Good
of,
ideas.
Like,
yeah.
Some good ideas. But just some like kind of arcs I didn't realize existed in the show or different ways to kind of take a strata of The Office. And
that's
look
right.
At it. Yeah.
That's right. Cool. Yeah. That was really fun. Cool. Well, how about conference room? 5 minutes.
Yeah. Actually, it's not 5 minutes. I got a different one here today. Hang on.
All right, everybody in the conference room. I don't care if you are gay or straight or a lesbian or overweight. Just get in here right now.
Who's running this thing?
I am. All right, so today in our conference room segment, we are going to start with another Office song.
Ah, lovely.
That a couple people have sent in. Okay. Shout out to Ian and Grace on Instagram. Both of you sent in this song. It's a very unique song. It's one that kind of engages with the sort of emotional experience of watching The Office and using it as a part of your life. So let's listen to it. This is a Netflix trip. I think it's by AJR.
AJR Netflix trip, yeah.
I had my first crush in season 2. She'd pass me notes and fill our hands with glue. And in my corduroys we'd walk to school. I sat and crossed my legs like Jim would do. She moved away, I was on season 3. It hit my heart so hard I'd hardly speak.
This is so niche, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so are we.
Reminds me of Fun.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I would have loved this in high school.
I turned down Jameson when I was 12. I spent that
Neuter's gonna be a marching drum.
The one where Dwight became the head of sales. My 8th grade graduation wished me well. I lost my granddaughter in season 6.
Oh God.
Wow.
I watched my mom, she cried and held her kids. Was broken up, I couldn't think. So I just hugged her the way Michael did.
Oh, that's crazy. That's so different. Like, he's actually talking about what was going on in his life as he was watching The Office. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think
like that.
I think we can relate to
definitely
having The Office is just something that you can put on. It's something that's very reliable.
It
right?
was always there. I mean, we've talked about that before. Yeah. It's always there for people as a comfort, like
it's
you
a means
know,
of support,
kind of a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's super cool.
I think
Thanks.
It's part of the reason why the show is what it is. You know, it's that it fulfills that role in so many people's lives. Right mm-hmm. when
that a song could be written like that. About a show.
Absolutely,
and it's like,
right?
It's not.
I can't think of another song that is written like that.
It's not even that, like, gimmicky, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of, I mean, at first
I thought it was, and then I was like, actually, this is really, like, if you consider just take 9 years of someone's life.
It's really about, it's really a love letter to, to
The
Office.
Happens.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we are all soup snakes.
All right, anything else in this conference or meeting?
Yeah.
I have an alternate casting.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, let's get it. Okay, here is the alternate casting. This comes from Sam via Instagram. He says, just listen to the recasting episode. Came up with a few quick ones. Here's what we have. Pam, Justin Long or Allison Hannigan? That was great.
Oh,
with, yeah. Oh, nice.
That's great.
Pam, Justin Long.
Justin Long?
Yeah.
It would be really good.
I think Allison Hannigan would be really great.
That was also great.
Who is that? I'm sorry.
In How I Met Your Mother, she is Lily.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Great.
Oh, I thought it was someone else in my head. Never mind. Nice. She sounds like she'd be great, though.
Great. For Jim, Emma Stone or Owen Wilson?
Oh, yeah, Emma Stone for sure. Owen Wilson would be funny.
I would like Owen Wilson and then Justin Long as the receptionist, and it's just that they have the relationship.
It would be funny. Owen Wilson plays such a happy, nice guy so often. It would be kind of, I think he could totally pull off that role.
Just imagine,
he'd be better Creed.
Just imagine Michael Scott saying whatever he says and Owen Wilson saying, wow. For Michael, we have Christina Applegate or Will Arnett.
Both good choices.
Christina Applegate.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. I mean, so you're doing Will Arnett audition was one of the managerial candidates in season 7.
Yeah.
Christina Applegate, she could do that.
She could bring a
I would never have thought of that one. That's a good one.
Dwight, James Franco.
what?
Well, they're not all great, but.
Okay.
Angela, Jim Parsons.
Okay.
Who dat?
Sheldon for the Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Could yeah.
Have a real.
Toby is Josh Radnor. Is Ted from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, God.
I wonder if this guy likes How I Met Your Mother.
One of my favorite lines from New Guys, now that I'm thinking about it, is like, but if you Toby out.
Yeah, he's being so mean to him.
You're going to look like a complete Nelly. Yeah. Meredith, Charlie Sheen. Okay.
Yeah. And yes, then, solid, very solid.
And Jennifer Aniston.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Pretty good.
She'd be great. Yeah. She kind of does that in Horrible Bosses.
Yeah. I was going to say.
And 30 Rock.
Yeah. She can be really funny.
But thank you, Sam, for sending that in. If you have more alternate casting, please send it in. It's fun to think about The Office.
We always look at those. Yeah.
Now I really want to see an Owen Wilson, Justin Long rom-com. Kind of a...
I feel like one was probably made. Mm-hmm. But anyways, time for trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, gentlemen, I got trivia for you this week. What I did is I got a couple trivia questions from each of the 9 episodes here.
Whoa, fantastic.
So we're just going to be running through them all. We're going to go in order from pilot to New Guys. All right, from the pilot. Hard to find trivia questions from the pilot.
Sure,
You know, we could probably recite that script. Pam tells the camera that her and Roy were supposed to get married in what month that year?
June?
No, in September, but they moved it to the next spring.
Hmm.
When Michael brings Ryan into his office to prank Pam, he asks if Ryan is into Punk'd and what other show?
X Factor.
No.
It's Jamie Kennedy.
The Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
Jamie Kennedy Experience. You got X'd, Punk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good one. All right, from the Dundies. Michael compares performing in the Chili's to what comedian performing in what country?
Bob Hope.
In?
Vietnam?
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia.
Oh, God.
In the Dundies video that we see Pam watching near the beginning, we see Michael sings along to Mambo Number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Pam's talking, so you hear him in the background singing, a little bit of Pam all night long, a little bit of Angela on the thing, a little bit of Phyllis everywhere. And then what are his next two? It's about Roy and
eating
Jim.
Eating chicken crispers.
It's about... And Jim?
I don't know.
A little bit of Jim with some ribs.
With some ribs.
He's laughing.
Eating chicken crispers.
A little bit of Jim with some ribs.
Oh, my God.
And
so
it's
funny.
Clearly you can hear Steve Carell cracking up. It's so funny. With some ribs. According to from Gay Witch Hunt, according to Phyllis, in high school, Michael often matched what two parts of his outfit?
His ties and his socks.
Yes, his ties and socks. We always thought you were gay, Michael, with your matching ties and socks. I like to look good.
And the perm.
Angela doesn't like Will and Grace unless who is on it?
Harry Connick Jr.
Correct. And when,
he's so talented.
And when Jan presses Michael on being insensitive to Oscar,
he watches
cites
Queer as
Yes, and
the L word.
Yes, very good, guys. I'm going to bleep that. Don't you worry, Sean. Okay. Logan, we got you. We got you out here, buddy. From Fun Run, we learned that Toby got lucky when what Scranton Pizza restaurant picked his business card for free pizza?
Oh, Alfredo's.
Alfredo's Pizza shows up.
Got a week of free pies.
Phyllis and Bob are of what two separate religious denominations?
Unitarian. Wait.
Who's who? Phyllis is a what?
Man.
Bob is a what?
Presbyterian?
No.
No, it's Lutheran.
Lutheran.
Yes.
And Unitarian?
Yes. Phyllis is a Lutheran. Nice. Bob is a Unitarian. That's how they keep things spicy between the sheets. From weight loss, when Michael makes Kelly stand up and have everyone compliment her, mm-hmm. we hear from Ryan, Meredith, Phyllis, and Creed. What are their compliments?
Ryan says everything.
Yes.
Creed says...
Hell of an ass.
Yeah.
Kelly's like, what else do people like about me?
Yeah. There are two more?
What are the other?
Meredith likes her nails and her
fingernails.
So you got to be more specific.
Fingernails.
And Phyllis likes her purple dress. We see in the chat box between Jim and Pam, Jim's screen name is Jim9334, because Jim would totally have one like that. What is Pam's name?
I don't know.
No clue.
Receptionitis 15.
Oh, wow.
As in, she's suffering from receptionitis. From Gossip, Season 6, in the parkour video, Andy says, calls out the last line of the trick he's going to do. He says,
Gainer.
Here it is. Truck, two refrigerators, two dumpster, 360 onto the pallets, and what's the last move?
Gainer.
Into?
The fridge box.
Into the trash can. Backflip gainer, which is a gainer, to the trash can.
Yep. Gainer.
Gainer. I hardly know her.
What are the three interns' names?
Oh, man. I don't know.
I can't name a
single
one.
Alan Thicke, Julia Stiles, and Jet Li.
Correct. <That it is. laughs> Correct. Real names are Maury, Megan, and Eric.
Okay.
But yes, we know them as Jet Li, Julia Stiles, and Alan Thicke. What a Michael Scott reference. From Nepotism, which two members of The Office do we not see participating in the music video at all?
Toby.
Toby's holding the camera.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, he's holding the camera. There are two that we do. Daryl.
Yes.
And Angela.
Yes, correct. Daryl and Angela,
we see them briefly.
She slams the door.
I said I didn't want to be on the internet.
Yeah.
I feel like Daryl would love to have been in that video.
Yes, of course. He's very musical. But he's always so excited to do something musical. So
we do. Stanley does hold the door, so he's in it.
You're falling behind.
You're still behind.
I love the way that Michael keeps coming back with that weird wand dove thing.
He thinks it's so impressive.
Yeah. And the flash.
Yeah.
Flash paper. And
You already ruined this one. Edwin, what item of Michael's is sitting undelivered in Luke's car?
Oh, the pants from Talbot's.
Yes.
Nice. I know they fit.
My bonus question was going to be Talbot's. In the list, Andy, the new manager, has a 9:30 chit chat scheduled with Robert California. He tells the camera he has three agenda items. What are they?
See if they can get an extra long Columbus Day weekend.
Yes.
Yep.
General meet and greet.
Also, they lost their...
Want to connect with the guy?
Yeah.
Get to know him.
Also, if time is available, we lost our biggest client.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. kind of a medium year for women's soccer.
fill in the blank. This is a quote from Andy, who, when he was a salesman, used to say, not my blank, not my blank. I'm going to go to the warehouse to polish my blank.
Not my job, not my prob. I'm going to the warehouse to polish my knob.
Metaphorically, of course.
That was just for fun. Just excuse to say that line.
It's monogamy for mahogany.
I love that.
From New Guys. Last two questions
last
here.
One.
Why is Clark good at balancing?
Oh, it's like an inner ear thing.
Yes.
Oh,
his
he
doctor
has a huge inner ear.
Gigantic inner ears.
Yeah.
And Pete is from what state?
New Hampshire.
Oh, Vermont. Next door, Vermont. You got it. Yes. Great little, the way they set up, Jim's like, hey, maybe I got maybe it is a younger version of me. And he's like, oh, what do you like? Oh, yeah, I like boxing, tennis, NASCAR.
Yeah.
Like, all the sports just a little off.
Okay.
A strange combination of sports to be into.
But you like the Phillies, right? You mean horses?
No. He's like, oh, I like the Reds. He likes the Red Sox, but he doesn't know who the Phillies are.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm from Vermont. I like the Red Sox. All right, good talk. That's it, folks.
Love it.
That's all the trivia.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex.
That was fun.
Guys, this was a lot of fun. Cool. And to everyone out there, like I said before, please send us your rankings of season openers. Our phone number is 503-694-9314. You can call and leave a message. We like to play them on the show. Or you can email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com, where you can find all those ways of getting a hold of us. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs all our artwork. We are recording this episode in the OG studio of the Ward Brother household.
Please remember to rate and review the show. It helps us, helps people find the show. And thank you as always for listening and wishing you all a happy 2020.
Yeah, we'll see you next year, guys.
Poppy, give me this up.
Yes, sir.
No, no.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.